Hey everyone, it's Russell Brunson. Welcome back to the Marketing Secrets Podcast. I hope you enjoyed the first part of our series yesterday, which was the first half of my interview with Monica Tanner on From the Brighter Side interview. Today we're basically going to queue up the second half, and then tomorrow, but the next episode, you have a chance to listen to my better half and have Colette tell her side of the story. So I'm excited for that. So with that said, I'm going to queue up the theme song and they listen to the exciting conclusion of my interview with Monica Tanner.
So the big question is this: how are entrepreneurs like us, who didn't cheat and take on venture capital, we're spending money from our own pockets, how do we market in a way that lets us get our products and our services and the things that we believe in out to the world and yet still remain profitable? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Russell Brunson, and welcome to Marketing Secrets.
So I'm sure several of my listeners would love to do something amazing. Like I try to talk a lot about finding your life's purpose. And I know that so many of my listeners out there are like, I want to do it. They've found their purpose, but they're so afraid that it will require doing something uncomfortable or really far out of their comfort zone. So what advice do you have for them to just kind of put that aside and be like, this is my mission, this is what I have to do, even if I'm deathly afraid?
The good news is we're all afraid, and you're all gonna be afraid at first. So this is my big thing. I believe, so I think for everybody, when you're trying to find your life mission and your purpose, whatever it is, right, a lot of times, like, even if we haven't achieved it yet, we know, like, this is where I'm going, right? And we have, like, this goal of, I always picture, like, there's a mountain, and on top of the mountain there's this result we want to get, and, like, that's where I'm going. So I'm going this direction to try to go up there, right? But most of us aren't there yet. And the biggest fear I see with people who are trying to, like, actually change the world is they're always like, okay, well, when I get there, then I'll be able to do stuff. And it's like, the problem is you never get there. Like, it's like the horizon line, right? The closer you get to the horizon, the further it's away. You never actually get to the end. And so I think the biggest thing is just starting, like starting. And that's the scary thing, because we're not ready to start. So one of my friends, Gary Vaynerchuk, he said something that was really profound one time. He said, a lot of people will go out there and they're trying to, like, create content to do whatever they're trying to do. It's like, no, don't create content. Like, he said, figure out where you're going and then document the journey. And I was like, oh my gosh, it blew my mind for a couple reasons. So one of them is, after my whole business collapsed and crashed, and I was like, the worst possible time to start telling my story is when I started my podcast. And I remember I was like, so part of me was like, why am I doing this? Like, I'm a failure in business. Why am I starting a business podcast, right? Like, I'm the worst person. But I was like, I'm going to start it now, because, like, I think even though I failed, like, I know some things other people haven't. So maybe I can start sharing some stuff that someday someone's going to start helping with. So I created a podcast similar to what I told you to do, which you're doing, which is so cool.
I was totally going to point that out. I was going to say, you sat on my couch and you said, just do it. And just I'm like, start. But I don't know what to talk about. And you're like, it doesn't matter. Just start talking. You'll find your voice. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. And we're on episode 16.
It's so amazing. You're doing it. It's crazy, because for me, so I knew that I didn't have a microphone or anything when I got started. So I just grabbed my phone and I just recorded while I was driving. So my first podcast was called Marketing Your Car. And it was literally me driving to the office, because we'd gone from a 20,000 square foot office to this 2,000 square foot one at a 4-minute commute. So I was like, hey, 4 minutes a day, I'm just going to talk about what I'm praying will work today, because everything has been working. And so I would do that every single day. I'd do it probably 3 times a week, and I would publish it. And luckily I didn't know at the time how to check podcast stats. So I had no idea if anyone was listening. And I found out later nobody was, for a long time, for a couple years. But I was doing it 3 times a week. It's been probably 5 years now since I first launched the podcast. And now we get tons of downloads, but for a long time we didn't get any. And but it was me documenting this journey. And what's cool about now is, like, now people find out about me, and like, oh, Russell built this huge company called ClickFunnels, and they hear, like, the big result we've done. But what's crazy is that people don't connect with me, like, oh, Russell's built this huge company. Like, it's almost hard to connect with people when you actually have gotten the result. So I tell people, like, well, go start my podcast, go start episode number one. This is like, we almost went through bankruptcy, we didn't. And then I documented the last 5.5 years how we got here. So start listing there, and you'll hear everything I learned along the way, and the frustrations and the whole journey. You guys can come on this thing with me. And what people tell me is, they log in and they start the first one. They say, yeah, I went and I binged, listened to like 5 years of your life. And it's funny, because they'll come and they'll tell me these stories. I'm like, oh, I forgot about that, like, 5 years ago. But they binge listen to everything. And also now they're connected to me. And now they care about the result, because they've heard about the downs. Yeah. So now they care about the ups. When people only hear about the ups, they don't care about you, what you're doing. Yeah. So I think for everyone, I would say, if you're listening right now, like, you need to start documenting your journey. And there's different ways to do it. I always ask people, like, whoever's listening, like, how many of you guys who are listening consider yourself a writer, like, you like to write stuff? Okay, if you're a writer, you should start a blog, and, like, you should, like, be blogging 2 or 3 times a week, just telling your journey, you moving towards some result you're trying to get. If you like talking, then you should do a podcast and just do, like, this, like, interviewing people or telling your own story, or both, and document your journey that way. Or the third, if you like video, which is my platform I'm most comfortable with nowadays, is like turn on a video camera and videotape yourself or do a Facebook Live or Instagram or just talk. And you, like, by you documenting the journey of you trying to get the result, that's how you find your voice. That's how you start, people start coming to you when you start putting it out there. Because at first they don't, and at first it's small, but if you keep doing it, eventually you get better and better. In fact, I had one of my buddies who went and binge listened to the whole podcast. He was like, yeah, your first like 43, 44 episodes were really bad. He's like, about 45-ish, you started clicking, and he's like, now it's like, you're awesome. He's like, I found you. You found your voice. You figured out your stories. Yeah. But it took me 45 episodes to get there, right? Like, what if I would have stopped after 16 or 20? Like, yeah. I never would have got here, and all the people who are able to impact now never would have heard the message. So for all you guys, it's just like, do it, even though no one's – in fact, I think a lot of times we get nervous because like, oh, no one's even going to hear it. But that should be comforting, because at first you're going to probably not be very good. So like, that's okay. Like, do it now, and when no one's listening, as you're learning it, it's not about them reading or hearing your thing at first. It's about you finding your voice. And after you found your voice, the people will come. They always do.
Yeah, that's funny, because I listen to all the courses by like John Lee Dumas, all the ones you tell me to listen to, and they all say you have like 15 to 20 episodes where they'll kind of give you the leeway, and I'm like, oh, I'm getting so close to that little threshold. I'm like, I hope I have it figured out. Like, at least I'm pressing record now. Yeah. Like, I'm definitely getting better every
You're learning
time.
How it works. That's awesome.
So in all of your travels, who's the coolest or most influential person you've ever met?
I definitely have to say, for both coolest and influential, would be Tony Robbins. Tony's just like, I mean, Tony's, he's not a member of our church. He's not, but I felt the spirit more with Tony than probably anybody else, which from a spiritual side is amazing. But then I also look at him, and he's someone who works with people from all around the world. Like, you see him working with the Dalai Lama all the way down to like people who are suicidal. Like, you see this contrast, and he's someone who, when you see him in public, it's hard to know, because, you know, on stage, and he's like, there's no one better stage present than Tony in the world. Like, he's just amazing. Then you see him like in the intimate spots where he wouldn't have, he could be super incongruent because like nobody else is around, and he's still like this super congruent person who like is just obsessed with helping other people. And to see someone who's done that at such a high scale and helped so many people. I mean, we were at one of his events, and it's a big event he does twice a year, and he asked everyone in the audience, like, who here is suicidal? And there's probably 40, 50 people raise their hands. And he sat there for like, I don't know, 20 something hours, going person by person, like fixing them, reprogramming their brain. And you watch it over and over and over again. And that's suicide. And the next day is like relationships and thing. It's just like it's amazing to see someone like that who cares so much and has built such a big platform that they can actually have. Because there's amazing people everywhere, but someone who's built a platform and can do it that wide of a scale and still be like a good human being is rare. And so, yeah, he's amazing.
That's so cool. And who of all of the entrepreneurs that you've ever worked with, who's been your favorite or most memorable?
Oh, man.
That's probably a tough question. I was like, who's your favorite kid?
I know. I'm obsessed with entrepreneurs. They're so amazing. I would say probably the one that would be top of mind right now is just because I've seen them. They've made a lot of money, like insane amounts of money. But like for them, it's not about money. Like, they're so big on impact. So it's a young couple, Brandon and Kaylin Poland. And they, I think they're 24, 25 years old right now. And 3 years ago, they came to our world. They'd been in like a network marketing opportunity that kind of collapsed on them. And so they came in like completely broke. And I remember they sent me a video, like the very first day they found out about us. And it was like, hey, Russell, like, we're Brandon and Kaylin, and we're going to be your biggest success story ever. And I get those sometimes. I was like, oh, good luck, you know, and that's all I heard. And then it's funny, now that I know them, I heard the story afterwards. They're like completely broke, had no money, newlywed couple, right? And so they went, and we were selling this course. It was $1,000, which I think their bank account at the time was like, there was no money. They all had this credit line. That's all they had. And they went and they watched this webinar I did. And Kaylin was like, you got to buy this. And Brandon was like, oh, I don't dare to. So he was supposed to go buy it. And he wimped out and instead just bought like this, like a lower thing we sold for like $100. And she found out, she got so mad. She went in, she went and bought it. And so it ended up costing them $1,100 of $100. But they were like, we have to make this work. Like, our entire life depends on this. And so they went and opened up the course. They pushed play and they watched it. They paused it. And whatever I said, they just like, okay, we're just going to do this exactly like Russell said. She actually coined the hashtag do what Russell says. Now, all our events, everyone's like, hashtag do what Russell says. But she's like, everything he says, we're just going to do it perfectly. And I've never met somebody that just executed better than them. They watched it, paused, do it, come back, do it. And they went and did the entire course that way. And on the back, they launched this company called Lady Boss Weight Loss, which, you know, I'm sure some of your listeners probably heard of. It's blown up into, they've helped over 100,000 women in the last 3 years to successfully lose weight. They built a culture. They built a brand. They're launching supplements now. At our last event, they got a big award for making over $10 million in the funnel. But the most amazing thing is just like the impact. Like, I see, because I'm like the only man in their, because it's a weight loss program for women. So I'm like the only man in their groups, like just kind of watching, you know, because I want people to know, but I'm watching what's happening. And I'm looking at these transformations and how many people's lives that they're affecting and they're changing. It's just Nothing gets me more excited than seeing what an entrepreneur can do.
Right after this. Like, I've actually heard you speak about them, and I'm like gonna look them up after.
They are amazing.
So for those of us who are just at the beginning of our entrepreneurial journey, what is the most important piece of advice you would offer us? Like, what's the most one thing?
I think the most important thing, the thing that most entrepreneurs do that's wrong is they get obsessed with like a product. Like, oh, I created this product. I found this thing. Or like they get obsessed with the product. And when you get obsessed with the product, it's hard to have success and it's hard to have impact. What I recommend ever do is you get obsessed with the person. Like, a business is not about selling a product. A business is about giving somebody a result. So I always think about like, hey, in fact, if you read the my first book I wrote, I talk about how like after we went bankrupt and we're trying to rebuild our business, like I had this chance to like figure out like who was my dream customer. Like, if I could pick one person to serve, or it's like if I could hang out with them every day and just like help them become better, who would that be? And I spent a lot of time, like insane amounts of time, thinking about that question, like who is. And in fact, I went to Google and I typed in like, I want people who are successful, people who used to be athletes, people who had made a whole list of stuff. And I went to Google Images. I typed all those things in, and then I typed in man, and I found it shows all these faces of people, and there was this guy, and I have no idea who he actually is, but I saw his face and I was like, that's my dream customer. So I took that Google image and I printed it out and I framed it on my desk. I was like, this is the man I want to serve. And I went and I typed in a woman's name, and I typed in, I think it was Julie, and she's successful and she's got a couple kids, and I kind of explained like my dream person. And I went to Google Images and I typed all that in, and I saw this person. I was like, that's Julie. I don't know who her real name is in real life, but that's Julie. I printed her out and I had her on the desk, and I would just look at him every day. I was like, okay, like that's who I want to serve. I want to serve Mike and Julie. And I started thinking like, okay, like this is Mike and Julie. And because I wrote like this list of who they were and everything, I was like, what do they actually care about? What do they want? And that's the question I started asking myself. And I was like, okay, now what can I create? How can I actually serve them? Like, what would I, if I really care about their success, like what would I do? And what would I create? And what would it look like? And it shifted my mind from like creating products to like, how do I serve those guys? And then from that, then the product ideas started coming out, and they just started, and it's crazy. The very first thing, very first product we created afterwards, like it attracted the Mikes and the Julies. Like it was like perfect bait that got those people in, because we crafted it to try to serve them, right? And what's crazy is we ran that product for a while, and then at the back end of it, we did an event. We had about 100 or so people came to Boise for that event. And what's crazy was like 30% women, 70% men. And I told them initially, I said, hey guys, I'm going to tell you something cool I learned. Like, I wanted to get the right people in. I said, how many of you guys, for the men in the room, how many do these characteristics tell you? Like, you used to be an athlete, you've had success in the past, you want to impact more. And I listed through the things, 100% hands went up. And I showed a picture of Mike. I was like, you guys are all Mikes. And I said, how many of the women here are this? And I did it, and every one of the women, like, and afterwards, all the women came to me like, I'm your Julie. And I was like, I know, because we crafted it from that point forward. And so I think for every entrepreneur, it's becoming hyper-focused on like the customer avatar, or whatever you want to call it. You're like, you want to become obsessed with it. Like, you could wake up every morning and just know, like, if I'm serving that person, like, it's going to be the best time in the world. And that's where you start. And then the products, everything else will come after that. It's just figuring out the person that you're so, that you would just go crazy to be able to serve. And then starting there, and then everything amazing will grow on the back of that.
Okay, I have my avatar list, so I'm working on it.
Cool.
So I'm working on it. All right, I'm going to get a little personal with you. You have 5 amazing kids, and you're an incredible dad. In fact, my very favorite thing is I drive your daughter in carpool. And so I love when I drop her off, and sometimes it's late at night, and you're just in the doorway, and you're carrying Nora, and I just think, oh my goodness, like, there he is. He's just being the dad, like, you know, he's done working for the day, and his most important priority is his kids. I love that about you. You're definitely a family man. But if there's one thing you want your kids to learn from you or know that you stand for, what is that one thing?
Man, it's interesting. Before I answer, it's been on my mind a lot. Ever since I started working with Chris from crispiescancer.com, I always think, like, if I was to get cancer, like, what would be the very first thing I would do? Every time I think about it, I know the first thing I would do is I'd grab my kids, I'd grab a video camera, and I would try to record, like, what I would tell them right now so I could, like, so that when I die, they could watch it later and be like, oh, this is the advice my dad gave me. And I had someone actually 2 days ago in an event I was at that talked about that. And I was like, you know what, why should I wait till I have cancer? So that's on my list this week of things to do, is to go with each kid and sit down and actually record, like, my advice to them. And I want to try to do, like, once a year and just have it archived so that someday they could have it. It'd be super cool to have.
That's a great idea. Well, let's start tonight.
So yeah, tonight's the night, kids, listen in. So, and it's tough because as I think about that, like, there's different aspects, right? There's like the spiritual, like, what would I give them spiritually? What would I give them socially? What would I give them financially? What would be the advice? But I think the thing that's helped me have the most success in all aspects of life is I've been a really big and then this is something I learned initially from Tony Robbins, which is probably one of the reasons why I like him so much, but is finding people that are the epitome of what you want to become and then modeling them as close as you can. And that it fits in everything, right? So if you're spiritually, like, who are the people spiritually look at? They're like, man, I want to be like that person. And then like model them as close as you can, figure out like what they do, how they do it. Like, I'm so obsessed. It's like, I interview people all the time. I'm like, what's your morning routine? What do you do the first thing in the morning? What's the second thing you do in the morning? Like, what do you, cause I want to know like what they're doing to get them to get that outcome, right? Like, everything is like, people don't just wake up one day amazing. Like, there's a bunch of things they do that get them to be that way. And so I think that'd be a big part. And even so much so that, like, if it was like from a financial or business section, I would be like, find that person you want to be like, and go like move in with them, work for them for free, whatever you need to do to figure that person out. Because yeah, everything I've been successful in life came from that. It's like finding someone who's amazing and then just following them and like believing them and 100%, like just putting all my eggs in that basket and whatever it can. I think that'd be the biggest thing.
Good role models
and then modeling them, like obsessively modeling, not just like, oh, this person's awesome, I like that person. Like, no, like obsessively, like get into their mindset. Like, if they've written books, like read all the books, like listen to their podcasts, like get inside their mind. Like, why do they think that way? Because if you figure out why they think that way, it's going to help you to figure out like how you should be thinking, right? Yeah, so obsessively modeling role models.
What if they let you down? You still got to keep your anchor in the one perfect.
Maybe that's the role model then.
Yeah, there you go. So one of my favorite things about you and your family is how down to earth and normal you are. What is it that keeps you so humble and grounded when people literally pay thousands of dollars to hear what you have to say?
I think part, like, I'm gonna give Colette so much credit for this. A huge part of it is my wife. My wife doesn't care about any of this stuff, which is tough for me because it's like, as a man, like 99% of the reason why I do this is trying to impress her. And she's just like, I'm good. Like, you just come home. Like, I just want you to come home, you know? And I think that's a big part of it. I think a second part we kind of touched upon earlier is just because I've cycled twice and because I've built it and lost it all at a really deep, painful level, like, I am completely, like, I am hyper, hyper, hyper aware of the fact that this is not me. Like, there are so many people and experiences and things that have made this possible. And if I'm not really careful, that can be taken away instantly. Anyway, I have such belief in my role in this world and in this life that it's like everything that I've been given, I've been given. It was not something it's not mine. And so I'm very aware of that and scared of that. And then just the fact that, you know, my wife, she's amazing. And like, just knowing that, like, I don't know, I think if I'm not careful, I think I could lose her and my family. And for me, it's like, there's a quote David O. McKay said, there's no success can compensate for failure in the home. And I think about it all the time, like, God, like, I gotta get home. Cause like, if I fail there, then I fail everything. Like, that's my big mindset. I always think like, if my wife was to leave me, like, it means I failed this life. Like, I know that's not true. I'm nervous saying that because there's so many people I love that have gone through divorces and things. And that's not what I'm saying. But I just know for me personally, in my mindset, like if that was to happen, like that would be ultimate failure for me. So because that's like, I got to be very careful because I know I have so many people that I love, that I respect, that especially in business, who get so obsessed with it that they lose everything. And like, and I think I definitely have tendencies of doing that if I'm not really, really careful. So I just try to be, because I get obsessed with things and I could go to the office and spend like 6 months there and forget about the world. And if it wasn't for like my beautiful wife and these amazing kids that were like, I gotta go home. Like, if it wasn't for that, like, I could be in trouble. So I don't know. It's the family, and then just knowing, being hyper aware of it's not me.
I love that. I love that. And I love that you credit Colette, because she could care less what you drive or what you wear or how much you can bench. She doesn't care.
She doesn't care any of that. I can't figure it out.
She loves the goofy wrestler that she fell in love with. All right. What are you most grateful for, and how are you giving back? I know you are. Mm-hmm. I know the answer to this question, but I want you to tell my listeners. I know that every weekend you teach the little neighborhood kids how to wrestle, and you do that totally free because you love it. I love that you do that.
Yeah, there's so many cool things. I don't know. I think I just look at like the different gifts I've been given. Like, this part of my life, I'm like hyper aware of like, okay, why was I given that? There's not wrestling is one, right? Like, I didn't learn wrestling just like as much fun as I had, much as I loved. Like, why was I given that gift? Okay, there's a reason. It wasn't just to like be fun for me. Like, initially probably was, but like long term, it's like you're given gifts. It's like the whole progression of life's interesting if you look at it, right? Like, there's a time in life where we go through this growth phase, right? Where like we're, and like as babies, that's where we are. Babies come out and it's all about growth, right? And they're trying to figure things out. And then eventually you stop growing until you shift to contribution. So it's like same thing in a marriage, right? First it's just you, and then you meet your spouse, and it's like, oh my gosh, there's another person, you care about them. And all of a sudden it's like your whole world becomes us as opposed to me, and you become less selfish. And it's like, now we're together. And then also you have these amazing kids, and it shifts again from like, wait, it's us to like, it's them. And like, they're the most important thing. Right. So for me, my life, it's like, there's this huge parallel with like being single, to being married, to being kids, that's happening in everything. Right. So like, I was wrestling, it was growth. I was trying to become a better wrestler for me, but then it's like, okay, now I have this gift I was given. Like, what's the point of it? It's like, oh, I'm to contribute. So where can I contribute? Like, well, I can help my kids. I can help the neighborhood kids. Like, if I can bring wrestling to them, like, it gave me so many gifts. Like, let me, any kid who's interested, like, let me just help serve there. The same thing as some of the other organizations we work with. There's a charity called World Teacher Aid that builds schools in Kenya that we work with. There's also Operation Underground Railroad that saves kids from sex slavery. Like, I don't have the ability to go and save kids from sex slavery. Like, I'm scared of that. Like, the whole mission of these guys that go to Haiti and go to these countries around the world and they go and they rescue kids and save, like, I don't have the ability to do that, right? But if I can help over here, like, the gifts I have been given, if I can get the message out to more people, and if I can make more awareness, if I can raise money for them, like, that's so exciting, because it's like I can help impact that thing without having to do the thing that's super scary, right? And so it's like, for me, it's like using these gifts I've been given. Like, I'm trying to get more and more focused. Like, why did God give me that gift? Because it's not just so I could, I don't think he gives any gifts for us. It's like, how do we now use this for other people? So for me, it's just kind of figuring that out. Like, what, like, why was I given this? And then now I've got it. Okay, what does he want me to do with this? Because, you know, what's the purpose of it?
Yeah, I love that. I think he gave you the gift of determination. I'm learning that. The more I get to know you, I'm like, you are one determined human being. So of all of your accomplishments, what are you the most proud of?
Oh, man. I'm not sure exactly the best way to answer this one. I think, like, I feel like my, like, I'm supposed to be helping people to, the work keeps in my head is, like, freedom. Like, how do I free people so they can actually do what they need to do? You know what I mean? Like, And I feel like that's probably the most important thing. Like, if I can give people tools or ideas or thoughts or permission to, like, free themselves, people are amazing.
I wonder if I can help you a little bit with this. Like, I feel like I remember once we were talking and you were like, money is not a bad thing. Like, it's not a bad thing to make money. Change your mindset a little bit. And I thought about, and as I think about that more, I think making money is amazing because it gives you so much freedom. So the more money that you have, like, I want my kids to be hard workers and I want them to learn how to make a lot of money, because for us, I know for my husband and I, it's given him a lot of freedom to be able to coach the neighborhood kids in soccer. And it's given him the freedom to be at home with his family and make memories with us. And it's given us the chance to give back a lot. And so I think whatever your focus is with money is what you'll do. So if you value boats and homes and all those things, none of those things, I'm not saying any of them are bad, but if that's what your focus is, that's what you're going to spend your money on. But if you believe in making a difference and, you know, changing the world somehow, giving your money and your time to worthy causes, then that being able to do that frees you up so much to do that. And I see you doing that for people. You're taking people who are kind of, you know, working paycheck to paycheck and just kind of slaves to, you know, their circumstances, to being able to, like, be the captain of their own ship. Like, they're making their money, they're making their difference. And I think that's so cool.
That's cool. You think about even, like, you remember, like, Maslow's hierarchy of needs? I remember this in school. I don't remember all the details, but I remember, like, the bottom is, like, you have to have food and water or else you can't focus on anything else. And when food and water's covered, then you're like, oh, now we need shelter. And the shelter's covered, now you need, that's the thing, right? When all you, when you're starving to death, you can't, all you can think about is that. And it's like, I feel like maybe somewhere in the hierarchy of needs, there's something where we need financial security, right? And it's like, if we can give people that, then they don't have to be stressed about, how am I, where's my food coming from, my paycheck? Like, how am I doing that? If I can, if that stress goes away, then yes, then they can, like, look outwardly and be like, how can I bless other people's lives? And that's really, really cool. Yeah. So yes, you said that perfectly. Way better than I did. I love it.
All right. Last question. What is your number one key to success? How did you become Russell Brunson?
Man, I think it probably comes down to the determination you talked about earlier. Like, and belief. I think belief's the biggest thing. I think I was blessed. Like, I just think about wrestling. Why was I successful in wrestling? And I think I remember going to the state tournament and seeing a guy win the state title. And I was like, I believe that I can do that. And so I went out there and I just killed myself until I did it. With business, like, I was not a business major. I didn't know business anything. But I got online and I was trying to figure out how to make money. And I saw these people and, like, I saw what they were doing. And I had so much belief that, like, they're doing it so I can do it. And so I just did it. And, like, as soon as I believed it, it was awesome. I still remember, like, when my whole company bankrupted and we were in the, like, everything was falling apart. And one of my best friends to this day came into me, Brent Co-Peters. And he's like, hey, so everything looks really scary. We just laid off 80 people. Like, are we going to be okay? Like, is this? I was like, oh yeah, like, it's going to be fine. Like, I don't know when, but, like, I had such, like, I knew it would be. I just had perfect belief and hope that, like, it'd be fine. He's like, okay. He's like, if you believe it, then I'm in. And he started working for, like, you know, half the paycheck and, like, super, you know, despite, like, people in his family wanted him to go do other things. And he's like, no, Russell has perfect belief in it and I believe it. And so I think that my biggest thing is, like, and I see something, I believe. And then I work my butt off to get that thing because I have such a perfect belief that it's going to be there. I think a lot of times we don't believe, and that's what keeps us from trying. Like, what's going to work? It's not going to, I don't know. It's like, no. Again, it comes back to modeling. Find someone who did it. That person did it. They're not that much smarter than me. I believe I can do it. I'm in. Let's go. And then start running as fast as I can.
I love it. So fun. Where can my listeners find you? Like, if they want to know the secrets to funnel hacking and all of that, how can they find you?
The easiest place is just russellbrunson.com. If you go there, there's links to the different books I've written, the software, our events, everything's kind of, you can find from there. And as you know, there's a video there of, on the page of me crying like a little baby.
But... You made me cry. I didn't know that story and I was bawling. I had to pull it all together.
Yeah, that's the best spot for sure.
Oh, well, thank you so much for being here. Like, I can't describe to you how thankful I am.
No worries. Thanks for having me. I'm so proud of you for actually doing the podcast. And I'm glad you're running with it.
And I'm doing everything you say. What was that hashtag? Do everything Russell
says. Do what Russell says.
Yeah, your last advice was find Jenna Kutcher. And I have. And I bought her course and I'm doing her thing. And yep, I'm doing what Russell says. For sure. That's a good hashtag.
That's awesome.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much. Hey, this is Russell again, and really quick, I want to thank you so much for listening to the Marketing Secrets podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and if you did, can you imagine what it would be like to experience this for 4 days with 5,000 other insane funnel hackers, people who are just like you, who think like you, who believe like you, who have vision like you? If you would like to do that, then you need to be at this year's Funnel Hacking Live. It's coming up very, very soon. If you don't have your tickets yet, you can go to funnelhackinglive.com, and it gives you the ability to leave your home, leave where you're trying to create and dream, and come to a place with a whole bunch of people who think like you, who believe like you, who see visions like you of what they can create and what they can become. Funnel Hacking Live is not just a marketing event. It's not just a personal development event. It's both of those things wrapped into one, and it is an experience that will change your life forever. So I want to make sure you get your tickets. If you don't have them yet, go to funnelhackinglive.com. You get your tickets. We have sold out 5 years in a row. We will sell it this year as well. And after you get tickets, you will be there with 5,000 other insane, crazy, fun funnel hackers talking about how to grow their business, sharing all the best marketing secrets, things that are working today. You got to go get your tickets now at funnelhackinglive.com. Thanks so much, and I'll see you in Nashville.